at today is in Parshat Emor, which the first half of which introduces the special status of the Kohanim. And it follows immediately after Kedoshim, because Kedoshim addresses everybody, Kedoshim to you, and here it's Kedoshim Yihiyu. And there's clearly a parallel. And some of the prohibitions that are part of Kedushat Am Yisrael are repeated or strengthened within the context of the Kohanim. Now, famously, the first prohibition is a prohibition against any contact with the dead, save for those seven relatives, from where we actually extrapolate the seven relatives for whom we mourn. And
Kedushim Yihiyu, is that
actually here? Yeah, it's here. We're going to see it. Kedushim Yihiyu Le'Elohem. And the particular prohibitions against disfiguring oneself, self-mutilation, which is echoed in Parshat Re'eh, and in some to some extent also in Parshat Kedoshim, as affecting everybody. So it's like the Kohanim have this extra level of Kedusha, and that's the way we would typically read it. The Parsha that I'm really bothered by is the second one, but we're going to get to it. But first, I want to introduce it with a very short Perek of Tehillim, because it's always good to start a session with a Perek of Tehillim. But this Perek of Tehillim is very popular. It has one of the single most popular songs in Hebrew school history in it, and is quite mysterious. Shir HaMa'alot David. Hinei Matov Umanaim Shevet Achim Gam Yachad. We don't have to translate that. And that alone is a beautiful sentiment. But the parak has two more psukim. Kashemen hatov al harosh, like the good oil on the head, yorein al hazakan, which then flows down to the beard. So how beautiful it is for brothers to sit together. It's just like good oil pouring down from your head to your beard. I'm sorry, but it really doesn't follow. And whose beard? Zakan Aharon, she yorein al pimi dotav. Aharon's beard that then goes down to his clothes. So the simple read of it is that the oil pours out from his head, to his beard, to his clothes. Okay? What the heck does this have to do with brothers living together in peace and how beautiful everything it is? And then, as to tie it all together, Ketal Chermon Shiorein Al Harei Tzion. Just like the dew of the Chermon that falls on the mountains of Tzion. Which itself is a strange image of quite a bit of distance, evaporation and condensation and displacement of rain in Har Tzion. But the image there is that it's flowing from one higher place to a lower place, whatever that may mean. Ki sham tziva Adonai et habracha chayim ad haolam. And the sham seems to be Har Tzion. God has commanded, has directed his bracha, which is everlasting life. So I already listed, and this is honor of Jason, I already listed the questions. And the first question is, how are these things connected at all? How is the idea of brothers living together in harmony, and oil flowing down from the head onto the clothes, and eternal life, what the heck do any of these three things have to do with each other? Okay, and we're going to park that question and keep it in the back of our minds through the shiur, and then at the end of the shiur, try to tie it together. So our parshat begins, as I mentioned, with the introduction of the special sanctity of the Kohanim, and it's introduced as follows. We're not going to look at all the psukim, but Vayomar Adonai Moshe, Emor el HaKohanim B'nei Aharon. So who are the Kohanim B'nei Aharon? Who are they? Elazar and Itamar. It's not Nadav and Avihu. We don't talk to the dead. So it's Elazar and Itamar, B'nei Aharon. Okay, good. Vayomar Talim, L'nefesh Lo Itamar B'yamav. None of you is allowed to become Tamei for another person. Become contact with them after they're dead. And then the exceptions in the next two psukim are particular members of the family. And then, starting in Pasukei, really it's Pasukei and then Pasuk Vav sort of gives the reason, is that the prohibition against self-mutilation, which the way that we read it in Parshat Re'eh, is an expression of mourning over death. We're going to see a further expression of this later on. And then in Pasuk Zion until the end is another area of Isurim, which is the prohibitions against certain marriages. The Kohanim may not marry. The most famous one, of course, is a Grusha, but a Zonah and a Chalala. And then that translates down also that if a Bat Kohen commits adultery, she has a particular different kind of punishment. Halachically, for Perek of Ketubot, we see where it specifically applies. But that it seems to be segmented. The first part of it is contact with death. The next part is this issue of self-mutilation, which may be related to that. And the next part is Isurei Kedusha, the prohibitions against marrying certain class of people, which are only binding on Kohanim. Okay.
I forgot. What is the Halala again?
Halala, halachically, is the result of a prohibited Kohanic marriage. So if a Kohen marries a Grusha, the daughter is a Halala.
Oh, okay.
Now, if a Kohen Gadol, let's say, has relations with an Almana, which is prohibited, that Almana herself becomes a Halala, and then may not marry any other Kohen, even though she's just a widow. Okay?
The daughter of a non-Jewish father?
What?
You mean a woman who marries out.
Nothing to do with this. Now, the second parsha, this is the one that's really confusing, because who do we think is the audience of the first parsha? Elazar and Itamar, Bnei Aaron, correct? Okay. Look at the second parsha, which is indented there, Pasuk Yod. HaKohen HaGadol Me'achav. So this is now singling out the Kohen Gadol. How is the Kohen Gadol described here? HaKohen HaGadol Me'achav. What does that mean?
Greater than his brothers.
Who's that? Well, who are we talking about?
Is that his younger brother?
Right.
Who are the other Kohanim?
Well, you see the problem. If Bnei Aharon means Elazar and Itamar, then who's Kohen Gadol? Aharon. How is Aharon Gadol Me'achav? Greater than his brothers. Which brothers? So I know you don't. You want to say Echav doesn't mean siblings, it means fellow Kohanim. I get that. Which fellow Kohanim are there of which Aharon is greater than? It does, the passage is very bizarre.
But is that talking about at that moment in time?
Well, that's who's being addressed. HaKohen HaGadol Me'achav. And we're going to see something further that's strange. Hashem Yitzak Al Rosho Shemen HaMishcha. That has the oil of anointment put on his head. U'mileyat Yado. And is invested. L'boshet HaBgadim. By putting on the garments. And Rosho Lo Yivra Ufra U'Vgadav Lo Yifrom. He never lets his hair grow out. He never tears his clothes. Letting your hair grow out and tearing your clothes, as we saw 2 weeks ago, is one of the actions taken by a full-on mitzvah. And the reason for that is because these are signs of mourning. And the mitzvah is mourning, as it were, for himself. This Kohen Gadol Me'achav is not allowed to do any mourning whatsoever. And then in the next few psukim, we're told, of course, that he is not mitameh for anybody, including even family. Okay, so he is a special status. He doesn't mourn for anybody. He does not leave the mikdash for anybody. Machlokot, Rabbi Yehuda, Chachamim, what that means, on Masechet Sanhedrin, about whether he leaves from a distance or he doesn't step out at all. Okay, but we get the flow here. What's curious is when we look at passage 3. Passage 3 is the one story we have about contact with death involving this family. And that is when Nadav and Avihu died. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Take a look at it. We'll read the whole piece through. Vayikuvan Aaron Nadav Avihu Elaz Ish Machtato. So Nadav and Avihu each took their fire pan. Vayinuva and Eish. Right? Put fire in it. Vasimu Alaktorat. They put ktorat in it. So far it looks good. And we don't know what this means. Were they drunk? Was it the ones commanded? Were they treating it lightly? Were they going on in with an appropriate attitude? One clear. Were they more halacha b'fnei Moshe? Asher lo tziva otam. God did not command it. What happened? Vateitze esh b'fnei Adonai v'tocha otam. God's fire came down. Boom, they're dead. Mutei b'fnei Adonai. Vayom Asher l'Haron, hu Asher diber Adonai, l'mor v'kovai kadesh v'al pnei chol ha'am ha'kaved. We've dealt with this in previous years. Moshe said to Aaron, that's what Hashem said, I will be sanctified through those who are close to me, and I will become honored in front of everybody. Vayom Aharon, and Aaron famously is silent. Okay. Now, what happens next? This we have never looked at before. We've looked at that first part. What about this? Vayikra Moshe el Mishael ve'el el Tzafan b'nei Uziel dod Aharon. So, who does he call? He calls the cousins. What does he want the cousins to do? Vayomer aleihem, kirvusu od achichem me'et pri hakodesh. Take your brethren, and your brethren here means Nadav and Avihu, out of the kodesh. Al michutz v'machaneh. Why? Because they're dead. Who's the obvious choice who should take them? Elazar and Itamar. And what did we just read are the restrictions on Elazar and Itamar and all the Kohanim that are not Kohanim Golim. You may not have contact with death except for your seven relatives. These are their brothers. So they should take them out. Instead, Mishael and Safan are told to take them out. And then what does Moshe directly command in Pasuk Vav, Vayom Moshe Aharon, Ule Elazar, Ule Itamar Banav, Grashechem Al Tifrau Vigdechem Lo Tifromu. Exactly the wording in Amor that's commanded only to the Kohen Gadol is exactly the words that Moshe uses to all three of them. You may not let your hair grow out, you may not tear your clothes, Velo Tamutu, implying that if you violate this, you will die. And then Hashem be angry at everybody. Let everybody else mourn for what happened. You don't mourn. And do not leave the entrance of the Omoed. You will die. So don't practice mourning and don't leave. Which, by the way, is exactly what we hear about the Kohen Gadol. Gadav lo yifrom and minah mikdash lo yetse. Very strange. You have the oil of anointment on you. Not on you, singular, alecha, alechem, on you, plural. Then Moshe is talking to all three of them. Why? What's going on? Why is it that Elazar and Tamar bound? So the simplest explanation that you could give would be this was an exigent circumstance. It was Yom HaShmini. It was the day of dedication. We wanted to make sure that the Kohanim, who have just been invested, will be able to fulfill their thing. Two of them died, so Elazar and Tamar step up to the bat. Last year we talked about that phenomenon of the two brothers in place of the two, and that's what we want to see happen. But it's a little bit strange. Why doesn't Moshe just follow the normative halakha? And I'll show you how that happens later on in the parsha, in the famous dispute between Moshe and Aaron. What happens? Moshe says to Aaron, you guys have to eat the chatat, and Aaron doesn't eat it. And it was burnt up. And Moshe says, why was it eaten? He was angry. And Aaron says back, Vatikreno tika'ela. If I am an onain, if I'm mourning for my sons who died, should I really be eating the korban? And Moshe says, you're right. In other words, even though this is an exigent circumstance, special day and all of that, the rules still apply. After all, Nadav Avihu died because the rules still apply. So why shouldn't the other rules apply? And why shouldn't Nadav and Elazar and Tamar participate in their brother's funeral? As a matter of fact, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not just that a Kohen is allowed to participate in the funeral of parents, siblings, children, and spouse, but they are obligated to. Rabbi Akiva versus Rabbi Shmuel at the beginning of Sota. So Rabbi Shmuel, what's going on here? So you're going to see something quite strange, at least to me it's strange, turn the page. When you look at the investiture of the Kohanim, Hashem tells Moshe, take Aharon and his sons. His sons means all four of them. Take Aharon and his sons. And there's a whole procedure to do as part of the Miluim. This is the 7 days leading up to the dedication of the Mishkan. It's called Kiddush HaKohanim. There's Korbanot to bring, there's Mincha to bring, and there's oil to daub again on the ear, the thumb, and the toe, just like we saw with the Mitzorah. And there's oil to put on whom? Take a look. Vaykach Moshe mishem la'mishcha. Moshe takes from the special oil of anointment, which Parshat Ki Tisa describes how to make it, and then he makes it, and he's supposed to anoint all of the kelim of the Mishkan. Va'minadam asher al mizbeach, u'minadam asher al mizbeach, he takes from the dam. Vayas, this mixture of blood and oil, al aharon, al bgadav, v'al banav, v'al bidev on avito. Who does he spritz the blood on? Aaron and his sons and the begadim, which means the sons have also been anointed. Now, what is a Kohen Gadol called in Parshat Vayikra? HaKohen HaMashiach, the anointed Kohen. A Kohen Mashiach means Kohen Gadol, or the special Mashiach Mochama. But that's what it's a reference to. So, ma pitom here that the sons are getting this anointment. As we see a whole picture kind of forming that Nadav and Avihu and Elazar and Tamar seem to be getting this full investiture at this point. There's more to it. In the commandment about Kiddush HaKohanim in passage 5, Hashem tells Moshe, V'chagarta otam avnet Aharon uvanav. You are to put on their belts, me on them, V'chavashta lehmigbot, you put the hats on them. In other words, the regular big day called Kohen, not the big day Kohen Gadol, the regular clothes of the Kohanim, Moshe is commanded to put on to Aaron and his sons. You're supposed to do milui yadayim, investiture. Now, if you take a look back at source 2, you'll say that's exactly what the Kohen Gadol is described as. The one who's been anointed, the one who's had the clothes put on him, and the one who's been invested. Those three terms. Okay, so that means that Nadav Avihu, and then in their place, Elazar and Itamar, seem to be Kohanim Gedolim, which then explains why they're not allowed to be Mitameh for anybody. They have been, from the get-go, raised as Kohanim Gedolim. So why aren't they acting as Kohen Gadol? The answer is because you can only have one person in charge at a time. Kohen Gadol, you can only have one person in charge at a time. But in status, and in restrictions, and in sanctity, they're all Kohanim Gedolim. Which explains another curious passage. Take a look at passage 6. What happens when Aharon dies? Aharon dies, which means there's no more Kohen Gadol. Who's going to become the Kohen Gadol? Elazar. What should Elazar have to go through in order to become Kohen Gadol?
Anointment.
He's never anointed. What do we see happens? Because it's not as if the Torah skips the details. Take a look at passage 6. Start from Pasuk Chafei. Kachat Aaron v'et Elazar beno. Hashem says to Moshe, take Aaron and Elazar. V'ha'al otam hor ha'har. Take them up to Hor ha'har, which is near Petra. V'afshetet Aaron at Gadad. Take the clothes off of Aharon. Which means Aharon goes up in his service clothes, in his big day kuna. And you put them on Elazar. Why doesn't Aharon put them on Elazar? Because putting them on Elazar is an act of making him Kohen Gadol. Why do they have to anoint him? Because he already anointed him, because he's already Kohen Gadol. But only one Kohen Gadol can wear the clothes. That was Aharon. Now Aharon's dying. Give it to Elazar. Aaron Yaseh from Eid Shah. And Moshe does exactly that, as you see in the purple print there. He does that exactly. Okay. We don't see that Elazar gets anointed at all. It's very strange. So what is it that's going on? Why is it that these three are all Kohanim Gedolim, but in status and in Kedushah, but not in actual position, and then when Aharon dies, the oldest son automatically steps into that place? And by the way, that would mean then, who should be next? Meaning, what should happen next when if there's only two brothers, and when they die, who's supposed to take over? Because we don't have now a whole family of Kohanim yet. We'd say somebody from the next generation should take over, right? Who is that? Who takes over?
We have the cousins already.
They're cousins, but they're not Aharon's kids. They're not even Amram's kids.
Should theoretically be Elazar's oldest.
Elazar's or Itamar's kids, right? That's exactly what happens, but in a curious way.
But is there a history for that?
History for what?
That order of descent, whatever you would call
no,
it.
No, I'm not saying oldest and oldest of oldest. I didn't say that at all. I'm saying there should be a child of Elazar or Itamar, because that's the only Kohanim that exists. There are no other Kohanim. There's Aharon, he's dead. There's Elazar and Itamar, then they die, so it's got to be somebody from the next generation. You know, we haven't yet built out a family. We haven't had enough generations for that. So who is it? As far as we know, they didn't. So who is it? We know who it is. Right? It's Pinchas. Something curious happens with Pinchas. Take a look at the story of Pinchas, which is in Source 8. All right, we're going to bring this all around back to Hinei Matov Manai. Vinei Ish Vinei Yisrael Ba. All right, this is the story. There's a plague. There's a terrible social disaster going on with the Moabi women and the Midianite women and everything else. He brings to Echav, keep that word in mind, to his brethren in front of them, the Midianite, in front of everybody. Mintav already seems to be paralyzed in their crying. Paralyzed means from action. Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. Now, who is HaKohen here? See the problem? Is it Aharon HaKohen? Is it Elazar HaKohen? Or is it Pinchas HaKohen? Or is it by dint, all three, meaning Pinchas HaKohen ben Elazar HaKohen ben Aharon HaKohen? Okay? Vayakum mitoch haido veikach romach biado. What does he do? He does exactly what a Kohen should not be doing. Right? Which is to be involved with death. That's exactly what he should not be doing. He takes a spear. He comes after this Jewish leader and right into the Kishkas. And skewers the two of them right there. And what does this effectively do? It stops the plague. In other words, while all this whoring was going on, people were dropping dead. Pinchas steps into the fray, acts in a way that stops the bad behavior on the spot, and on the spot, the magefa stops. In other words, what did Pinchas do? He violated, as it were, his own kihuna in order to save everybody. Then we get a count. What's Hashem's reaction to this act? He could not react. He could react by saying, Pinchas Yishakarech, now you're out. I'm not going to get an issue of kana'ut now. And when it's appropriate, when it's inappropriate, and how we're supposed to understand it. But this time, Pinchas saved Bnei Yisrael. I had this divine wrath, and he stopped it. L'chein amor. So this is what you should tell. Amor to whom? Hashem is thinking of Moshe. Amor to whom? Doesn't say amor lo. I mean, you're supposed to announce this to everybody. Hinino telo et briti shalom. I am going to make a brit shalom with him. Which, if you think, brit shalom doesn't appear before. Otherwise, I don't think. Certainly not here. It doesn't appear maybe until Malachi. Malachi bet. So what's a brit shalom? What does that mean? Seems to mean that perhaps Pinchas acted violently. I'm creating a brit of shalom with him. In response. And now, what's the gift? Vaitalo ulizaro acharav brit kihunat olam. So what does that mean? What's Pinchas' gift? So generally, we understand it as follows. Traditionally, we understand it as follows. Pinchas was really not supposed to be a Kohen. Why? Because Pinchas was born before Elazar got invested. And therefore, the investiture was to Nadav, Avihu, Elazar, and Tamar, and any kids they would have subsequently. Pinchas was born too early, so therefore, he's out. Now he's being lifted up into the kuna. I don't think so. I think there's another way to look at it. Maybe what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying is, I am making him the Kohen Gadol. Let's see why. Because he was Mechaper Bnei Yisrael. Because whose actions is he imitating? Who else do we know who did an act which is against the Kohanic rules in order to save Bnei Yisrael? Take a look at passage 9. There was a plague going on because there is a rebellion. The rebellion got quashed, the rebellion of Korach. Not the Natan of Ram part, the Korach part, got quashed, and now people are all murmuring against God, and there's a plague. What does Aharon do? Aharon takes the Ketoret. Where does he take the Ketoret? By the way, the same Ketoret that killed his sons. The same Ketoret that killed the 250 guys who rebelled. It's the same Ketoret. Meaning, it's the same vehicle for divine punishment, or divine power that ends up killing you if you're not in the right place. And what happens? Vayikach Aharon kasher dibe Moshe vayoretz otoch ha'kahal v'inei echel ha'negav pa'am. Now this is before the Pinchas story. What did grandfather do? What did great uncle tell grandfather to do? Take the Torah and go between the people. Vayitent that Torah vayichaper al ha'am. Exactly the same words. Vayichaper al ha'am, just like vayichaper al b'nei Yisrael that Hashem says about Pinchas. This is Aharon going out there with the Torah and standing between the living and the dead, and the Magefa stops. And again, like we have in Parsha Balak, we get the record of how many died. We get a count of how many died, and the plague was stopped. And this is a good thing. We don't say that Aharon was acting inappropriately because he took the Torah and used it this way. We don't say that Aharon was acting inappropriately because he was standing better at Tino and Achayim. Aharon saved the people. Pinchas does the same thing. He violates what in a small vision is the laws of being a Kohen. in order to grant the much grander vision of it's my job to save the people. And he does. What does Hashem give him? Brit Kehunat Olam. He is a Kohen HaGadol Me'achav. And indeed, Pinchas then serves as the next Kohen Gadol, as we see in Sefer Shoftim. After Elazar dies at the end of Yeshua, so Pinchas takes over. What's going on here? So I'd like to suggest that HaKohen HaGadol Me'achav, which is where we started, back in passage 2, when the Kohen Gadol is introduced, he is HaKohen HaGadol Me'achav, which on a literary level, on a literal level, sorry, cannot mean Aharon, because Aharon doesn't have Achim. There are no other Kohanim to choose from. And it can't be siblings because there's only one brother, and you really can't say Gadol Me'achav because Moshe is greater. So why is he described that way here? And why does that then become the way we describe the Kohen who serves inside, the top Kohen, is HaKohen HaGadol Me'achav? Because the reality is that Aharon really is the model. Even though in the case of Aharon, it's like Jason said earlier, even in the though in the case of Aharon himself, you can't say Gadol Me'achav, it becomes the model. Why? Where do we first meet Aharon? The first time we meet Aharon, Moshe, we never heard of Aharon. Moshe is at the snare. Remember, when Moshe was born, all we heard about was his sister. Moshe is at the snare. Moshe refuses. Finally, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's compromise with him? He gets angry at him. He says, take a look at the source number 11. 11. Vayicharaf Adonai Moshe. Hashem gets angry at Moshe. Vayomer halo Aharon achicha halevi. First time we ever heard about him. Yadati ki daber yidaberhu. He will be able to speak. Aharon will see you. He'll be very happy to see you. Belibo means, it doesn't just mean he'll put on a smile. He's really happy to see you. And what does it mean is he's happy to see you? So everybody on the spot understands. What it means is Aharon is happy for you that you've achieved this great position greater than his. That's the kind of brother you need. When you have a brother who recognizes, my brother is greater than I am. Not to have brothers who are fighting for the position, but brothers who are supporting each other in the position. Aharon's going to support you, and you're going to support Aharon. That's HaGadol Me'achav, because HaGadol Me'achav means what? It means not just that you're greater than your brothers, but your brothers recognize that you're greater, which means they are happy for you. That's the kind of coin that we need, who's going to be HaKohen HaGadol Me'achav. What does any of this have to do with anything? Please look at the Midrash in Source 12, and I'll bring it all together. Beautiful Midrash Tanchuma. This pasuk. Davar acher, lech likrat Moshe Midbara. Zeu shamar katuv mi yitchenecha ki achli. In the beginning of the 8th chapter of Shir Shirim, I wish you would be to me like a brother. Which is, kind of statement is that for the girl to make? Yisrael omim lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu mi yitchenecha ki achli. This is what Am Yisrael says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I wish you were like a brother. What does that mean? At motzei kol ha'achim sonim zelazeh. Brothers are always hating each other. Where does it start? Kayin sonei lehevel. Yishmael sonei leYitzchak. Right? Yisav sonei leYaakov. Over and over. Hashvatim sonu leYosef. I mean, Breishit is just every generation. Shenemar, etc. Uve'eza acham re'Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What kind of brother is it that Am Yisrael is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to be like my brother? K'moshe v'Aharon. Shenemar, v'nei matov u'man na'im shevet achim gam yachad. Who are the achim? Moshe and Aharon. What does that have to do with anything? Kashemen hatov al harosh yored al zakan zakan aharon shofered al pinotav. That's where the anointment comes from. The anointment comes from brotherhood. You are anointed to be Kohen Gadol when you are part of brotherhood and fraternity that works together. And you are the one that they recognize as the one selected for this job. That's where the anointment comes from. And what's that anointment going to lead to? Kisham tziva Adonai tabracha chayim ad haolam. What is the Kohen's job? The Kohen's job is life. That's the Kohen's job. Therefore, what does the Kohen have to avoid? Death. The first Kohanim or anointed all have to avoid death, even the sons. They have to avoid any contact with death, any actions of self-mutilation as part of mourning, any appearance with clothes and hair of mourning. A Kohen Gadol can't even marry an almanah because she's connected with death. Perhaps that's the reason. They have to avoid death because their job is life. Right? Kohen shesharagat nefesh al yisad kapav. A Kohen who actually kills somebody can't do birchat Kohenim. His job is hachayim v'ashalom. That's the pasuk in Malachi. Hachayim shalom natati lo. So what happens when Aharon sees that everybody's dying? He risks everything and runs out with the ketoret to save them. What happens when Pinchas sees that people are dying? He risks everything and takes the spear and acts as he has to act to stop the plague. Life above all. Kisham tzivad unayet habracha chayim ad haolam. But what's the condition for that to happen? HaKohen HaGadol Me'echav. The one who his brothers recognize is greater than he and are happy to promote him that way. The history of the Kohen Gadol is far from that, especially towards the end of Bayit Sheni. Doesn't at all consistent with that. But the vision that the Torah gives us of what the Kohuna in general and Kohen Gadol specifically should be is exactly about that. How do we bring life and protect life? It starts with Shevet Achim Gam Yachad. Actual siblings and fellows appreciating each other and living together in harmony, recognizing each other's strengths and supporting those strengths without the power struggles, without the jealousy, without the hatred that was all of Sefer Bereishit. As we said numerous times, Sefer Shmot is there to fulfill Sefer Bereishit. But Sefer Shmot is also there to atone for Sefer Bereishit and to take all the terrible mistakes that happen in Sefer Bereishit and try to rectify them. And the establishment of the Kohen Gadol is a big part of that piece.